Hey, welcome to StratCom Live, the podcast for small business and nonprofit marketing. And we are here to help your organization tell your story to the people that need to hear it. That's what we're all about.
Is that what we're here for?
That's what we're here for, to help people tell their stories to the people that need to hear it.
Okay, that sounds good. That's a good mission. That's a solid mission, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, given that's the industry that we've worked in for so long, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that explains what we're doing here.
So I'm Josh Hatcher. I'm the Vice President of Client Success here at Grand River Agency, which is kind of the parent company for what we're doing at StratCom Live at this podcast. And my co-host here is...
Oh, you're talking to me.
That's you.
My name is Kelsey Bowden. I am the president and founder of Grand River Agency.
Yes. And so, you know, there are a lot of nonprofits and small businesses out there that are just like wasting their money on really junk marketing that just doesn't help them communicate. Do you remember in Communications 101?
I had a thought there real quick.
Oh, tell me your thought. Go ahead.
Not even just because I knew that's where you're going, though, wasting their money on these things. Not even that, because a lot of the smaller businesses and nonprofits that we would serve typically, they don't even have the money to invest in that in the first place.
Right.
So they're wasting precious resources doing it themselves.
Right.
Yeah. They're wasting their time and resources where they could be focusing on being the CEO of that nonprofit, being the vice president of what have you at that small business, focusing on their roles, but instead they're writing press releases.
Right.
And to top it off sometimes.
And social media posts.
And social media posts.
Or they're not writing press releases and social media posts, which they should be doing.
Yeah.
There and is they don't that. Have the time to do it.
And they don't have the time to do it. And when they do cobble it together, it's a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll happen.
Yeah.
But it's not a bad thing. And we're not making fun of you if that's where you're at this point.
Yeah,
you know, no. Because that's...
It's a feel. We have struggled even with ourselves. As our company has been growing, we talked about this before.
With our own marketing.
With our own marketing.
Yeah.
Because... I think Jimmy put it, cobbler's children has no shoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's why
I don't look at the hairdresser's hair.
Right.
Kind of thing. Yeah. Like we're helping all these, you know, for the last 3 years, we're helping these small businesses and nonprofits with their community outreach, with their grant writing, their digital marketing, their social media presence, and then haven't had very much chance to focus on it until pretty much right now.
Which is why I'm so excited about what we're doing, because one, it's fun to do marketing, right?
Right.
But it's even better when the marketing is helping people, which honestly is what we want to do. Because so like we know who our target is. We know the people that we want to reach and really want to help. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, if you're out there and you're a small business that knows that you're ready to invest in some marketing, or a nonprofit that's ready to invest in some marketing or grant writing or communications of some kind, we know that we can help you. And if that's you, go to grandriver.agency and fill out our contact form and we'd love to help you. Mm-hmm. But even if you're kind of like thinking about it and you're not ready, we still want to help you.
Like we still want to be a resource.
We want to be a resource. That's why we have the podcast.
That's why we're sitting here talking to you right now.
That's why we have StratCom.live. That's why we put so many blog posts out, not just for SEO, because it does help with SEO and it helps people find us so we can sell stuff to them, right? But also because we believe that helping you and informing you and giving you the tools and the resources is important. Even if you're not at the level where you can afford to pay somebody yet.
Right.
Like if a small business out there who's like, I can't afford, you know, a contract to be able to work with these guys yet. And I do say that like we can make a contract even for smaller customers.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. That they could afford. And if you're like, look, I could afford this much, we'll find something that we can help you with, I think.
Right.
But even if you're in a place where you can't afford it, you're just not ready to pull the trigger, we want to help you know how to do it well.
Right.
Like that's our heart, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I had a thought along those lines.
I was going to tell you Communications 101. You have a little diagram of a radio tower and that's your transmitter. And then you have another radio tower. That's your receiver. Like behind you, there's that old vintage TV. It's got the antenna poking up. That's the receiver. And communication happens when a transmitter sends it to a receiver and it is received.
Right.
If it isn't received, like the snow that's on your TV, because there's nobody sending analog TV signals anymore.
Right.
So there's snow on it. Plus we live in the sticks. So there's no, you know, no over the air broadcasting happening. That means that communication isn't happening. If it was sending out and it wasn't being received. Mm-hmm. So if you're putting social media posts out there and you're getting like one or two views, it's not being received.
Time to revisit the strategy.
It's time to revisit the strategy. Absolutely. And that's what we're here to do. Strategic communications. That's what StratCom means.
Yeah. A lot of different stuff. I remember what I was going to say.
What were you going to say?
Because we were talking about the, you know, if you are ready or not as a small business or a small nonprofit, small organization, what have you, if you're not ready to make that investment, I wanted to talk about the nature of that investment without going through a sales pitch. I even hate going through sales pitches with actual clients. Like when mm-hmm. when I met with the board of directors of that nonprofit the other day, I didn't go in there with a sales pitch. I went in there with a conversation. Mm-hmm. I wanted to figure out what exactly their needs are, because I don't want to promise one size fits all carbon copy deliverables. That's just irresponsible, because everyone's needs are that much different. You know, some might really just need help with just social media. They might have the grant writing stuff down pat. They might have the donor cultivation down pat. They might just need a little bit of help solidifying their digital presence. So when a grant funder, when a donor, wealthy benefactor, when they go and visit their website, when they go and visit their social media, which they're going to do, especially here in the digital realm, they're not going to encounter a digital graveyard. You know, they actually have some information on there that's pertinent to them, you know?
Right.
So, but anyway, the nature of the investment is it's either you can do it yourself with your small team or just yourself, or you can hire a full-time marketing director. You can hire a full-time graphic designer or grant writer or fund developer or whatever you need in the realm of StratCom. You can hire that person and you're paying a lot of money for salary and benefits. Or you can contract with a third-party agency that has just a wealth of resources and a team of people that are devoted to your deliverables. So, I mean, it makes looking at it that way makes the investment seem that much more friendly, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, it typically exactly. is. It's usually a fraction of what the salary for a full-time marketing manager would be.
Right.
You know, something like that. Not a sales pitch though.
No, but just helping people understand who we are and what we're doing.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know? So since we're looking at who we are, let's ask a couple like icebreaker questions, you know, the kind of questions that you ask like at a party, mm-hmm. you know, to kind of figure out who everybody is and what they think about. Interestingly enough, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
So today's topic, we're talking about AI, right? Why AI alone isn't the answer. So these fun questions that we have here that we kind of like ask every day, every podcast episode, like we actually used AI to generate these crazy questions. Mm-hmm. Which I think is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Cause we use it as a tool rather than have it generate our entire podcast.
Sure.
We used it as a tool to help, hey, let's have a segment and let's come up with some ideas here. And I fed it a bunch of ideas.
Right.
And then it gave me a bunch more. Mm-hmm. So our question, if you could travel back in time, what era would you visit and why?
Oh my Lord. Well, I've often felt that I was born in the wrong decade. I feel like I'm an old soul. I feel like I would be much more at home in like probably the 60s or 70s, maybe given my musical interests, you know. I feel like I probably would have been a pretty good hippie back then. in my younger days, I might have been a pretty good hippie. So I would say probably I'd be sitting at a Wings concert in 1973, and that would be like my favorite era to be in. And that, does that make sense?
No, I get you.
Yeah,
I could see you there.
Yeah, yeah.
With your hair a little longer.
The hair would be longer, but I mean, like, I actually, if I grow this out, I would have like the afro.
Yeah, you've got that tight curl.
Yeah, yeah. So I would definitely have that. It would be very easy for me to have like
pick it out.
And... Oh yeah. Oh, I'd be looking good with the chest hair and everything too. Oh yeah.
Leisure suit.
I was just gonna say polyester leisure suit. Just sweating in a polyester leisure suit.
I think for me, if I were to travel back in time, I would want to go back to the days of the Little House on the Prairie, like mm-hmm. like the before the turn of the 1900s.
That's you know? Fitting for you.
Like, you know, like I'm a homesteader kind of person. Like for a long time, like mm-hmm. we raised meat rabbits and chickens and processed them ourselves.
Sure.
And like I love having all this tech, you know, I mean, I'm in a room full of all kinds of tech right now.
Right.
It's fun. But dude, like life is better without it, which is, I think, very interesting since we're talking about AI today. You know, mm-hmm. I'm like, we might get there, dude. Maybe AI will take over the world and nuke everything and we can go back to, that'd be amazing.
Let's scare people in this
episode.
Yeah,
let's do it. That's what's going to happen.
That's what's going to happen with AI. AI is going to
eat your children.
Yeah, that's going to happen. That is 100% going to happen. And I give it 3 years tops before.
No.
3 years.
No.
AI, 2026 is going to be a
smart
bad year.
As AI is and as fast as it's growing, it's still pretty dumb.
On its own? 100%. Yes, it is. Absolutely.
So
I've been excited for this episode.
Me too. Know? Me too.
Yeah, because now we've done two, and this is now my favorite episode. So.
Yeah, it's already. So let me ask you another question, dude. What's your favorite guilty pleasure TV show or movie?
Guilty pleasure.
Like the thing that, like, if you told people, they'd look at you like, oh, okay, whatever.
I would have to say, guilty pleasure. I'm going to take that to heart. I really have to think about this. Like maybe even something that I would be like embarrassed to admit.
Right.
Kind of
right.
Like that I really, really, really love that movie and will watch it whenever it's on kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But at that, I have the movie in mind, but I'm trying to set the stage here for it a little bit. But I wouldn't be embarrassed to like admit it, you know, because there's a lot of, it's a good movie. It's a Kevin Costner movie.
Okay.
Yeah. For Love of the Game.
Yeah.
For Love of the Game. Yeah. Because I mean, like it's this baseball movie. I played baseball for a very long time, you know, but it has this like really gushy kind of, love story that goes along with it. during one of my recent breakups a couple girlfriends ago, I watched that on repeat for Love of the Game on repeat. Like for
it was
like,
your comfort movie.
It was
you were wearing a pink robe and sandals. Yep. and you know, like flip-flops or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just like sitting there drinking your Chardonnay and crying with a tissue box while you're watching.
Yeah, and I have my jar of my bowl of strawberries over here, just
chocolate covered
strawberries, just eating my feelings, you know. Definitely eating. No, but that's I watched it like 2 weeks straight.
So interesting.
It was the only thing that made me comfortable.
Interestingly enough, my favorite guilty pleasure movie is also Kevin Costner.
Oh my goodness!
It's The Postman.
Oh yeah.
And I have this friend who's like a movie like aficionado, right? Like he wants to be a director. He's super smart when it comes to movies.
Uh-huh.
You know, he knows everything. And like he thinks that's the funniest thing in the world that I love that movie. And the reason that I think it resonated is like we were broke at one point and we had like no money. And so like my parents and Zoe's parents would like tape TV from cable. Mm-hmm. And then just give us the VHS tape that we could watch.
That makes sense.
And so like we had this VHS of The Postman with like paused commercials. You know what I mean? So like you catch like a second of the commercial and they hit pause and then resume it when the movie comes back on. You know, and all the I think there might have been a nude scene that was edited out for TV, you know, which was great. Like, why don't we have movies where we could edit out the crap we don't want to watch? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like who came up with the idea that you have like I hate like watching like my wife and I have a show we love to watch and like, it's got language in it that like is not something that I just want to listen to.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like if I stub my toe, I might occasionally say it, but they say it every other word on the show, but I love the show, you know?
Right.
Anyway, The Postman, the edited for TV version.
Right.
Is
what this, year did that come out?
I don't remember, but it's this post-apocalyptic, insane, crazy. I think there was like a nuclear war. They didn't say that it was caused by AI, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was.
That's what's coming in 3 years of AI. That's the whole purpose of this episode, is to warn you about that, to tell you to get in your bunkers.
So the best part of the movie is Tom Petty lives in Bridge City, which is the city that they built on a tent city. They built on a bridge.
Yeah. Okay.
And, by this point, Kevin Costner has adopted the role of like the postman. Cause he like, you have to see the movie.
Right. But yeah, I've not seen that.
Oh my gosh. You have to watch The Postman.
Yeah.
It's horrible, but it's great.
Okay.
But
Tom
Petty is in it, and he goes, he sees, Kevin Costner, and he says to him, "I know you. You're famous." And it's like it's that irony because it's Tom Petty who is saying it. And they didn't say that Tom Petty is playing himself, but he's kind of playing himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just funny. It's just great. So anyway, that is, I think, my guilty pleasure movie. And when I admit it to people, they're like, "That's like almost as bad as Waterworld." And I'm like, I loved Waterworld.
Waterworld. I was just thinking, going back to the if you could travel back in time question, this would be a terrible time to visit because things were just so terrible. But I'm like kind of like a World War II buff.
Uh-huh.
So living in that era, even though like obviously atrocities were happening and all sorts of craziness was happening around the world there. I think it would be fascinating to be in that time, even just for like a day kind of thing, you know? So like, you know, as a kid growing up playing like game Call of Duty or whatever, and Day of Defeat, like the World War II games like that, like it was just, I don't know, just kind of just fascinating.
So like shooting Nazis.
And then I grew up and started studying it more and understanding, you know, that a lot of it, you know, not all of it, but understanding a lot of it is just, it's a fascinating time to me for whatever reason.
So shooting Nazis is like a valid hobby for you.
Oh, that would be fine.
As long as it's like actual Nazis and not just like the people that everybody calls Nazis now because they disagree with them.
Yeah, exactly. Right? No, I mean, I don't want to go back in time and like, hey, I'm going to go fight in this war, you know, but I'd like, you know, hey, maybe it'd be cool to like, you know, walk the streets of Paris and see Nazis. I don't know. I have no idea. But I think
it'd be cool to liberate Auschwitz. I mean, that'd be cool.
It'd be cool to be there at that point. But yeah, I don't know. That's that would be another time, just because I think the time period itself is fascinating.
So if I could go and live in Mayberry.
Oh yeah. Okay.
You know, because that was so much like I grew up in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
And you know, as a teenager in the 90s. In a small town, you know, and it was very much like Mayberry.
Sure.
And so like when I watched that TV show, like when I was a kid watching the TV show, like the Andy Griffith show,
yeah,
it wasn't funny.
Can you whistle that tune? I'm so envious that you can whistle. I can't whistle.
Oh, dude, I can whistle loud. Like I have a world record breaking whistle.
Oh, wow.
I want to train for a Guinness record on it. I can't do it here. It would just destroy all the microphones. And our listeners,
you have to whistle from the diaphragm.
Yeah. And you've got it. Like you put your fingers in your mouth and I can whistle. So have you ever heard me whistle?
Probably not. All right, not like a crazy.
Dude,
like,
we've got to make a social
hailing media, a cab whistle,
a social media video so that people can see it and like find a decibel meter to measure it.
Uh-huh.
Like I can whistle so loud. And a girl taught me how to do it, which is funny because girls don't usually know how to do that. Like, I know.
How to do the whistle?
It sounds so sexist, but it's true. It's like girls can't make machine gun noises. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, this girl in the marching band taught me how to whistle. And like, then she got mad because I could whistle louder than her in like a week.
My dad can do that pretty loud too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
hailing a cab whistle.
Yeah. Like, I know.
Because we don't have too many cabs around here. So there's like no reason to break it out.
Hail every cab. Like when my kids were little, they would like go off in the woods, they'd be like a mile away in the woods playing. And I'd whistle when it was dinner time and they could hear the whistle a mile away and they would come.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a great skill.
Right.
Oh, all right. Let's get down to business.
Get down to brass tacks.
When I say let's get down to business, I'm hearing the song from Mulan. Let's get down to business.
Yeah.
To defeat the Huns.
My daughter hasn't seen that movie in like 2 years. Now she's gonna want to. Now she's gonna want to see it.
Is your daughter listening to our podcast? She's like, I want to be a marketing expert, Daddy.
Yeah, yeah. All 7.5 years old of her. Yeah, she'll be. No, I will have her listen to that specific segment though, and then she's gonna want to watch the movie.
I'll make a man out of you. Dun 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 dun.
It was a good movie.
It was a good movie. Uh-huh. So
artificial intelligence in strategic communications, in stratcom, as the jargon would say.
So let's set the stage.
Sure.
I am a dude out there who wants to market my business and I never have time for it. And I'm scrolling on TikTok, which is probably why I never have time for my marketing, because I'm wasting time on TikTok.
Yeah. Yep.
And I see all these videos.
3 hours a day going through that. It really, and really.
All of these people are telling me how much money I can make using ChatGPT
sure.
to start a business.
Right.
And like, you can use AI. And now, first of all, there is some truth to that. What AI has become in the last year is ridiculously powerful.
It is. And as soon as ChatGPT came out and was like mainstream and everyone started doing it immediately. Of course, we experimented with it. We implemented that in our day-to-day strategy. It is a godsend in some respects, but it's not like the full project. It's not the full process.
So what is it? What is ChatGPT for those who are like, I just see the TikToks, but I don't understand it.
All right. Artificial intelligence. You would go to basically ChatGPT. You would go to the prompt and you could tell it. I mean, like as basic as it is, you could just tell, write me a blog post about X topic. Mm-hmm. Write me 10 social media posts about X topic, or you can plug in different prompts that say like, these are the details. You can speak more eloquently to that, you know, the prompt side of things, exactly what you need to say. But yeah, just basically a way. And then it just, boom, you hit enter and then there's 350 words of blog content for you. It just pumps it out in about 10 seconds.
And what it is it's a language model, right? And so they programmed it to really understand language.
Yep.
And
that's the whole purpose of the algorithm is.
And the way that it operates is by basically they fed it the entire internet.
Yeah.
And now they're feeding it all of the things. Like every time you use it, you're feeding it.
Yep.
So if you use it to write a blog post, it's feeding it. It's getting smarter.
It knows.
It knows your deepest, darkest secrets. So that's what it's doing is it's a chat bot. You remember the chat bots back in the day where you could just talk to a robot and it was always bad.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and like, I remember like just a few years ago, there was all these memes where they would like make an AI read all of the Batman scripts to the Batman movies and then tell it to write a Batman script.
Oh yeah.
And it was like ridiculous because it wasn't smart enough yet. And now it has a much better grasp on language because they've been able to feed it.
I'm going to pull something up. Continue.
Go for it. They've been able to feed it all of the internet. Now, I mean, I think it's dated now. And so ChatGPT is put out by a group called OpenAI, which started out as an open source nonprofit. And I think now they're a for-profit and they have, if you wanted to use the free version of it, right, anybody can use it. You just have to register with an email address. But if you want to use it for,
I found the thing.
That's all right. If you really want to use it, you know, you can pay money to use ChatGPT-4, which is even more intelligent, which is really smart because eventually they'll have ChatGPT-6 and then they'll make 4 public for everybody to use. Do you know what I mean? Like they'll just keep advancing it and the tools that just the average Joe that's not paying for it could get. But that's what it's doing is it's a chatbot that's been trained on language models that's really good at listening to and responding to the directions you give it. However, okay, what did you look up? You have
all right. So, feeding AI prompts. This was from several years ago. Forced a bot to watch over 1,000 hours of Olive Garden commercials, and then asked it to write an Olive Garden commercial of its own. So here's the first page. Interior of Olive Garden restaurant. A group of friends laughs at a dinner table. A waitress comes to deliver what could be considered food. The waitress says, pasta nachos for you. We see the pasta nachos. They're warm and defeated. The menu is here. Lasagna wings with extra Italy.
What?
We see the lasagna wings. There's more Italy than necessary. Oh, my God. I shall eat Italian citizens. Waitress says, unlimited stick. I mean, it's fair to say that that AI has come a little far. Come a little way since then.
That's so,
they get unlimited stick.
That's so bad that it has to be like made up. Like I think a human wrote that to make fun of it. It's so bad.
I don't know. I've seen this. I saw that years ago, and I was like, "Holy cow!"
Now,
lasagna wings with extra Italy, please.
Like, it is not that bad.
It is not. No, it is not.
But. No. It is still not quite right. So, like, the question that, like, that our customer, right, like the hero of our story out there, right, sure. is going to be asking is, why should I hire someone to do my marketing if I can just have ChatGPT do it? Like, right. I can just have them write all my social media posts. Sure. It doesn't cost me anything. Because you can put in there. I mean, there's some limits on how much text and what you can do with it. But somebody might go out there and they might just be like, write me 50 social media posts. And then they have, you know, 50 social media posts in 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why should I hire somebody if I can just have that do it?
Right.
Like, what would you tell them?
having that write 50 social media posts only gets you halfway there. Because what it's going to come back with, it could very well be serviceable. Most of it, 80% of it, 90% of it could be serviceable.
I think probably closer to 60% of it is my opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
If you just asked it that way,
you get more in the weeds with ChatGPT.
Right.
Than I do.
I've been using some very specific prompts
or whatever for a lot of times for my purposes. If I'm having it write, hey, have it write 25 social media posts for our marketing for us, right. you know, something like that. I find that, you know, it'll turn up, especially if I prompt it right and I feed it the right preliminary information so it knows what to base those posts off of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of the time it turns up some pretty accurate content, I would say. I mean, there's nothing blatantly idiotic about it. It's also not written in our style or our voice
or our customer's voice,
or, you know, it might miss the point entirely, you know, like what the target audience would be looking for. So that's where you need the human touch to augment it, edit it, and to optimize it.
Well, and especially for things like blogging and social media,
mm-hmm.
you've got to understand that those are very personal spaces, right?
Right.
They're very human spaces. And I think, like, just like I was saying earlier, like my favorite back in time period would be back to Little House on the Prairie era, whether it's nothing, or maybe even Mayberry, right? Mm-hmm. I think that there's going to be culturally a shift that starts to reject this canned digital androidy kind of thing that's kind of being forced on everybody. I think people need that human connection, first of all. And I think, like, if you just use it to do all your marketing for you,
mm-hmm.
it's going to, first of all, not pass the uncanny valley. You know, you're familiar with that concept. Like if someone tries to recreate a human, whether they're making a physical robot or like even like a, like when you're watching like digital stuff,
right?
Like, and it, while it keeps getting better and better and better, you can look at it and say, it doesn't quite look like a real human.
Right.
Especially when they're talking to you and when they're engaging with you. And I think we still have
hello, fellow human.
Right. I am here too. Like, I think we're still...
I too am human.
What about Mark Zuckerberg? We know you're really a robot.
He's just out here smoking these meats. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
He's just out there smoking these meats. He just loves smoking meats.
Yeah. And he's got like Sweet Baby Ray's on his shelf. Like,
yeah. Just what is a normal person? What does an average person put on a shelf? Oh, I'm going to put this barbecue sauce up here. Well, on this shelf in my
office. People watching this podcast, they're like, why does Josh have a bear behind him and a cow skull, and why does Kelsey have a pirate ship and an old TV?
Because those are genuine decorations. Like, yeah. I don't have just a can of like a bottle of
Sweet Baby Ray's.
I don't have a bottle of soy sauce sitting behind me.
But yes, like we recognize when something isn't human.
Mm-hmm.
And while ChatGPT is doing a really good job at becoming better and better,
mm-hmm.
your goal in your marketing is to connect with a human. You're really writing for two audiences, actually.
Especially you are.
Look at blog posts.
Mm-hmm.
You're writing for robots because you're writing for SEO.
Yeah, you're writing for the search engine. 100%.
But on the other side of the search engine that's looking for you, the person using the search engine,
yes,
is a person. And so they're using the search engine to find you. And the goal of the search engine, Google especially, they're constantly changing their game, right? Changing the rules for SEO, because what they want is it to be as organic and natural as possible.
Right.
And when people learn to game the system, then the results that you get aren't what the actual person is looking for. And so as all of these technologies keep kind of competing to game the systems, people are just, they're craving human connection.
Speaking of, can we backtrack here?
Please.
A little bit. All right. So talking about SEO,
mm-hmm.
you were entering digital marketing kind of at the, I wouldn't say in the infancy of SEO or anything like that, but much earlier than I did.
Yeah, you know? Really. Infancy.
Okay. So, I mean, like, what are we talking? Like 2000?
I've been building websites since like 1998.
Okay. So around then. So like explain the nature of SEO in 1999.
So, oh my gosh. So like it was all a game then.
Yeah.
Right. It was a game and
like just like putting alt text behind images and just putting the keyword in there 4,000 times.
Like at the bottom of your website, you would like copy and paste everything. Like you would even copy and paste, like copy from like whatever keywords that were the most searched keywords
mm-hmm.
that weren't related to what you were doing.
Yeah.
And you would put it in like white text over a white background.
Yep.
So that you could hide the keywords.
Yep.
You know? and like it was like, okay then. Like Google didn't think anything of it then.
Oh, sure.
And then, you know, like and search at first was good because people hadn't learned to trick it. And then when people started to learn to trick it, then the search results that you would get would be bad. So then the search engines, like back then it was WebCrawler and AltaVista.
Yeah.
And then Yahoo and then Google, you know, and then they started working. That's what made Google big, is they built an algorithm for their search that was better than everybody else. It was getting better results.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, and we can have people pay us to advertise, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And be at the top of the list. So that, anyway, that's the whole concept behind the SEO, is that they've learned and every year, sometimes twice a year, they update how they operate because people keep gaming the system. So sure. I think we're going to start to
see, it's always a moving target now,
right? Yeah. We're going to start to see ChatGPT's content become flagged by Google. Because people are going to automate, like you can actually even automate like the ChatGPT to create content that's happening in the background. So you can actually have AI writing copy and posting copy on the internet that you've never seen based off of the search engines and the keywords and stuff that you want. So you can have a robot completely creating a store, like an e-commerce store for you, writing blog posts about it, doing social media posts. You can have it all automated by AI.
Mm-hmm.
Google is going to try to, Google's goal is to make sure that me as a human being can find what I'm looking for.
Right.
Specifically what I'm looking for. And if there are robots trying to game that, then they're going to find ways around that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They're going to start punishing that content if it's not properly, because they can detect it. Like they already have the ability to detect AI written content.
You can look at it and see what's AI generated and not. Yeah. You know, if it's just raw AI generated copy, it's pretty obvious. We'll get into that in a second too. There's a really, really funny,
example.
But
it's very formulaic and you know, if you say I want you to write 100, you will really see it if you do something like this. I want you to write 50 blog titles, or I want you to write 50. Social media posts. You'll start to see the formula in it, and it starts to be like, okay, I see what you're doing here. So really, you need the human touch in your marketing. Mm-hmm. You need to understand that who you are writing for, your primary audience is humans. And even though you think you're writing for robots, right? Mm-hmm. That's more about formatting than writing.
Right.
And so who you're really writing for is people. And what the search engines want to do is they want to make sure that the people can find the stuff made by the people.
Sure.
And that's the primary.
100% too. You know, I also have found that if you're just, you know, especially if you're new or newer to using ChatGPT and you're just, you know, your goal is to write a blog post. Let's just say, tell it to write you a blog post about the things to include in a grant proposal, the things you need to include. Now, having written 400,000 grants myself, that's an exaggeration, but having written a ton of them, I can sit there and just, you know, rattle off the different things that you need to have in that proposal. ChatGPT is going to turn up 6 of the key 8 things that you need to include. It's going to scour the internet for resources. Mm-hmm. and try to find, well, you need to have this in your narrative. You need to have this in your budget justification. You need to have X, Y, and Z. And it's going to come back with most of the things that you need, mm-hmm. not all of them.
And it may not be accurate.
It may not be accurate at all. It's going to come back with, it may not be accurate about maybe a process oriented thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's accurate about, well, you need to include this, but it misses this key point that only the expert, you, would be able to add to it.
It also has in it the biases of the people programming it.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I've seen people do have you seen the, where they have it, write me a poem about the merits of Donald Trump versus write me a poem about the merits of Joe Biden.
I've avoided that.
Right. I know. Like, I try to stay out of the politics of it. But like, if you've ever done that, what you'll see is it'll write you the poem about Joe Biden singing him his praises. But about Donald Trump, it'll tell you how we don't support damaging content or something like that. It'll like not even write it.
Right.
Because you asked it to. So regardless of where you fall on the political spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that what's happening is this program is built to operate under the set of principles that are determined for it by the people that programmed it.
Sure.
And if they think that your political candidate, for example, is evil, it won't do it.
Right.
Right. And like, so like there are,
I've never actually seen that. That's a,
yeah. Okay. And there are many other
again,
things.
Again, I've tried to avoid that.
But. Right. Well, we don't really need it in what we're doing.
Oh, of course not.
But there, my concern is that if you have, we'll actually talk a little bit about this in an upcoming episode, mm-hmm. when we start talking about Twitter, which yep. is a really interesting, or X as they call it, which yep. is a really interesting thing. I'd really love to be able to break that down.
I love
for
talking
people.
About X's.
X, 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 X. It's a cool letter. But anyway,
I was talking about my exes. I'll,
oh, you're
actually,
all
I don't
my
want
exes live in Texas.
Hell, so. I wish they lived in Texas.
No, but you know, like it's the same. It's even the same with search engines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Google as a company is operating under a set of political assumptions based on their board, and they will sometimes censor certain results that you're searching for if they don't think that it aligns with what they think you think it should align with. So
sure.
just understanding that when you're using it is another reason to have a human touch on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you want to make sure that what you're putting out there is something that relates with your audience, something that is true, something that your audience can understand, and something that is just human, because it's humans that you're reaching.
Right.
And so all of that to say, don't expect ChatGPT to do the work of a human. You can use ChatGPT to augment the work of a human.
Correct.
And I think that's going to get you where you need to be.
It's also missing. It's missing the human touch in that, like, it's not a natural storyteller. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can make it like write a story in the ways of Ernest Hemingway or something like that. But I mean, like, mm-hmm. it's going to make up something, but your goal is a content marketer in becoming a thought leader in whatever your industry is, to tell that story that kind of proves that and that walks people through their problems to get them to a solution. Now, you can just sit there and explain nuts and bolts, mm-hmm. which is basically what you're going to get back from AI, but you need to infuse that storytelling with your own with your own stories, with stories of triumph, with stories of how you got this right, with stories of how you got it wrong, you know, so to put things, to offer that, that perspective that the robot hasn't lived that perspective. You have,
right.
You
right.
need to be the one and to infuse that in there.
And your reader or user or customer also has experienced those things.
Yes.
And needs to be able to relate
because
to
you're writing to their pain points.
Right.
So
right.
they've experienced that. So they need to, the AI does not have empathy.
Right.
Has zero empathy. It's not writing to pain points. It's just turning back whatever algorithm based on the algorithm, whatever language it feels is most fitting for that particular
and whatever prompt. Content it's scraping to understand it.
Exactly. Yeah. So it only gets you it only gets you halfway there.
So,
you can't, for instance, if you are tasked with writing a handful of blog posts for your website, something like that, you can't just, well, you could just plug in the prompt, have it do that, copy and paste, throw it on the website, call it done. It's not going to be as good as it possibly could be.
Nor will it get you the results that you need it to
get.
No,
it's not going to come back search engine optimized.
Right.
You know?
So speaking of which, this is what we should talk about as well. How can I use ChatGPT in AI effectively?
Ooh, you can talk about prompts?
Dude, I'm going to talk about prompts.
I want to hear that because I want to learn more of that from you.
So this is because I spend way too much time on TikTok and I go down the rabbit holes to learn these things. So the first step in getting the results you want is you want to tell ChatGPT who you want it to act as. So, when I was using it to help us kind of create some of our content, I wanted to write a blog post for Grand River Agency.
Correct.
Which, by the way, is our blog, go to grandriver.agency. Mm-hmm. And so what I did is I said, I want you to act as an expert content marketer and expert SEO analyst for
SEO optimizer
for Grand River Agency.
Uh-huh.
Right. And I said, I'm going to feed you some content to help you understand our voice.
Do you say feed or provide?
It doesn't even matter. Like, it can understand what you mean.
Right. Okay.
Right. I'm going to provide you some content. Whatever you want to say, you know, you tell it what it is. And I want you to wait to respond. I just want you to acknowledge that you read it and understand it. I will provide further instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Right. By the way, I make this stupid mistake all the time. I feel like I'm writing to like an intern and I'll say, could you please? And you don't need to. It's a robot. It's not a robot.
You don't need to have manners with it.
Watch. AI will take over the world and be really mad because Josh didn't say please.
Because people in general were very rude. People in general were quite rude.
I got really rude with it one day just to see what it would do. And it was totally very subservient. But anyway.
I am so sorry, Josh.
So you feed it exactly what you like you tell it who it is and then you feed it. So I copied 4 or 5 of your other posts that you wrote.
Uh-huh.
I copied our mission statement. Like I copied all that stuff and I pasted it in there and it says, and it would give me, and it would respond because I told it to wait for further response, but acknowledge that you understand it. And it would tell me, I understand this. And then I would give very specific instructions for what I wanted the blog post to be.
Right.
I say, I want this blog post to follow the format of the post I provided, right? I want it to have at least this many words. I want it to include H2 tags, header tags that are SEO optimized. I want it to, and just tell it exactly what you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say, before you write it, though, I want you to ask me any questions that you might have.
So brilliant.
So that you can understand what I'm trying to say.
Right.
And then it will come back with 10 questions. And then I just copy and paste those questions into the prompt and answer them.
Okay.
So it's already got all the content that I fed it. And now it's asked. And it always asks really good questions.
Mm-hmm.
Really good questions. And there are questions like, well, man, I understand why it's asking this question, but it's not relevant. So I'm not going to use that question. Right.
Right.
And then put it out there, you know, and most of them I'll answer, you know, maybe 8 out of the 10 questions.
Okay.
And then I get the blog post and I'll be like, okay, this is pretty wooden. I don't really like what I'm getting. Let's say, okay, I want you to rewrite this article, but I want you to use more compelling and descriptive language.
Right.
And then I get it back and it is like, still, it's like, I'm like, okay, I want you to rewrite this content, but I want you to use not so many exclamation points.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, the one post I did yesterday. So I took a post that I wrote by hand. I didn't use ChatGPT to write it. I pasted that in and I said, I want you to rewrite this post, but I want it to be about this situation. And I want you to use the same formatting, but I want you to make the language different. And I got back and I didn't like it. I'm like, could you do it again, but make it more conversational?
Right.
It was so bad. It was so bad. It was like, hey, dude, like in the word I said, like I was talking about a client serving the community and it like serving their customers and the community. And I get back, like serving their clients and the local crew,
you know, crew.
Like it just didn't get it.
What does that even mean? The local crew,
like the conversational was too conversational. So,
right.
So, but everything else I liked about the post. So right. I went in and I just took out all the stupid stuff.
Right.
You know, but it took all of that human interaction to get what I wanted. And then even more human action to clean it up later. Mm-hmm. And I fed it so much. The cool thing is when you do that too, like it on the left-hand column of ChatGPT, you have your threads that you started.
Yeah.
So if I want to, so I have threads for my own stuff that I have at manlyhood.com. Mm-hmm. I have threads that I do have done for the church that I, you know, that I attend and some of the work I've done there. I don't do a lot with the church because that kind of gets weird. Like, I'm like, what if it's like, what if a demon is telling me what to do? So I don't do a lot with that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not right. saying it is, I'm not saying AI is controlled by demons, but like church, church is the one place you definitely need human elements working on things. Do you know what I mean?
The devil is in AI. And the devil's, Satan's greatest trick is to
right make you think he doesn't believe.
Make you believe that he's not there.
No, yeah. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying like, there's a couple things I've had to use. Like, could you rewrite this? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But now I have a chat thread that already includes background information and voice. Right.
Yep.
And so I can go back to that and put in the new content in because that chat has already been trained on the voice that I want it to write in.
Right.
And that's been super helpful as well.
Yeah.
But don't be afraid to take what you get and say, can you please rewrite that?
I have it rewrite things all the time. I don't go as in depth as you do. Cause you like, you're the prompt master, you know? So for things like, you know, I want it to include two H2 headings for, you know, SEO mm-hmm. purposes with the long tail keyword in there. I just usually do that myself. That's part of the human touch for me. I already know what it needs to say.
I have found that for me, where I've gotten the most out of it.
I know I'm going to have to rewrite it anyways.
Right. You know you're going to have to rewrite it anyway. So what I do if I'm writing a blog post typically is I will ask it for an outline.
Right.
Could you outline a blog post for me, emphasizing and feed it all the information I want, and then it'll write me the H2 tags.
Yep.
And like a real quick, like maybe 3 or 4 bullet points under each, and then I just write to that.
Right.
That gives it the human touch.
That's so helpful.
But then you have the structure, mm-hmm. and then maybe I get stuck. I'm like, man, I need
to
write.
Are you someone who, not to cut you off, are you someone who struggles with structure when writing? Is that very helpful for you?
I can do that about something that I know really well.
Right.
But sometimes in our business, I'm writing about something I don't know really well.
Right. Oh yeah. Especially when we're taking on a new client and we're just only are we learning the styling of their messaging, but right. we're trying to figure out their industry sometimes.
Right. Right. Their industry or even the topic inside their industry.
Sure.
It's just like when we were journalists, you know, like you had to become an expert.
In a lot of things, in
a day
yep.
or an hour to be able to write about, you know, highway maintenance on, you know, like why is this highway project costing this much? And you have to learn a lot about asphalt and a lot about cement and a lot about gravel base and all of that kind of stuff, just so that you can inform the public. You know?
Oh yeah.
And so
it's like me covering my first school board meeting.
What are you talking about? I don't understand. Why did you have an executive session and kick everybody out of the room?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like we don't know these things, you know?
Yeah. As a cub reporter, just coming out of college or whatever. Like that was, I had the schools beat, you know, my only experience with schools was that I had gone to school. I never even attended a board meeting before. I didn't know what the structure of that was.
Oh, that's what a superintendent does.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, like I knew that, but yeah. Anyway, we digress. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but the point though is like, so I don't struggle with the structure. Like I can outline, like you should see my Google Docs and like all my drafts of books and stuff I've started.
Oh, sure.
I can do that all day long.
Right.
But to write about something I don't know, sometimes I need a little help. And then I've written like 3/4 of this blog post, but I don't know what to write here. And I get stuck on like a little writer's block on how to write about that one little section. Mm-hmm. And then so I'll have it write a couple of sentences to get me started or something. You know?
Right.
But
I often ask it to elaborate on a point, mm-hmm. you know, if it's coming back with just basic, like the bare bones of a blog, the bare structure of a blog. And you might have like the different sections on different topics. And it says 3 words in a very, very basic general way about something that's important. I always ask it, elaborate on this point. If I can't get to it myself, or if I'm too busy, or if I just don't even know about the thing, at least get me started with that. You know, elaborate on this point, and then it gets me another paragraph or so of stuff.
Yeah,
that's usable. Yeah.
And like I've used it to plagiarize.
Nice, like, admission, Josh.
No, but like sometimes admitting it's like
guilt.
No, just but like not really plagiarize, but like, okay, here's something I know nothing about, and I need copy on it.
Yeah,
and I'll feed it an article, and I'll say, look, I need you to pull the information out of this, but I need to be completely original. I need to be able to pass Copyscape, right? Which is an app that goes out there to make sure you're not actually copying somebody.
Sure.
It still needs a human touch.
Sure.
But, you know, and sometimes I'll feed it 3 or 4 articles, right? Different articles with different perspectives and different wording to try to be able to really pull out what I need. So you can feed it the information, you know, you can feed it formatting, right?
Right.
The other thing I like to do, because I love Google Sheets, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, you're always in Google Sheets.
Dude, Google Sheets is my bomb. And so like I'll use like the spreadsheets and I'll lay out all my content in it. And so like I'll get this content and I can't paste it in there. Mm-hmm. So like I'll be like, I need 50 social posts based off of this. I know I'm going to have to rewrite them, but it gives me a starting ground, right?
That's the crux of this discussion, is it just gets you the starting point.
Right. But I'll get the starting point and I'll have to,
which is valuable. That saves you hours.
It is,
you know, sometimes it, depending on the project, you know, it just gets you to a point where you can take it to the finish line.
Right.
Yeah. That's it. It doesn't stand on its own.
Right. So I'll take it. I'll try to copy and paste the content that it gave me. I'm like, that just doesn't work. So then I'm like, I need it in a table, and I need it where this is the breakdown of the cells and rows and columns in the table. Mm-hmm. And then it'll give me a table and I can copy and I can paste it into Google Sheets.
Uh-huh.
Cause it can handle the formatting like that you want.
That's what you did with that content map.
Yeah. And it'll even
that you write, did for one of our clients a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. 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 And it, you still have to have, even with that, you have to have the human element to be able to put it in what you want it to be. But it is so,
how many of those topics, let me ask you then, how many of the topics before you sent it to me for mm-hmm. review, before I sent it on to the client, how many of those topics did you weed out? Did you weed any? Because
how many did we end up needing? Did we ask for like, you asked me for like,
I can't 50. Remember. Yeah,
you asked me for 50 blog topics.
Yeah.
So what
spread
I did
out is, across these different types of,
right.
Yeah.
So I took those industries. I took the blog titles that we've already written for them. Mm-hmm. So I pasted in the blog titles.
Yep.
I pasted in like what we already had, and you asked me for 50 and I asked for 100.
Okay.
And then I weeded out maybe 1/4 of that 100. So you ended up with 75. I might be wrong on the numbers, but that's
about right. That's about where it was. So, I mean, there were 25 topics in that were just garbage then, correct? Yeah,
they were just, they were garbage, or they just didn't really seem relevant to mm-hmm. the customer's messaging,
right.
Or they were redundant. Like, like I don't want to write a completely duplicate blog post for the same thing with a different title.
Yeah.
Like
it just, there is that.
Yeah. That just wasn't going to be helpful.
Right.
It wasn't really going to serve our client.
Yeah. And so after you weeded out 25 of the 100 that it gave you back, I probably weeded out another 15.
Right.
Or so, you know, that I was just like, oh, we've probably already done this before, or this just like, it might hit the point, but it's not a priority,
and
you know, that sort of
thing. Also, when I did that too, I weeded out immediately out of that list of blog topics, mm-hmm. right? or blog titles, because they're really, I think they were written as blog titles.
They were titles, yeah.
Which is a better way to put it. It really is a blog topic, but it's a title.
Yeah.
And you might change that title later, but having the title is helpful because you can tell it that you want it to be SEO friendly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Optimized for these keywords, which I did. You know what I mean? These are the keywords that he wants to rank for. These are the, you know, and so give me the blog titles. So I also tweaked. So I removed about a quarter of what it gave me. I also probably tweaked another 15 of them.
Right.
Hopefully not the ones that you had to take out.
No.
You know what I mean? To make sure that the language was, again, not just for the internet robots, but for actual people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that's really the key to this, dude, is making sure that you are writing for people.
Yep.
And if you're using it, it's going to need people to make it make sense for people.
Yep. Hey, that's the crux of it.
So let's talk about Kelsey. This is something that I know you're really excited about. So last night we knew that we were going to be doing some podcast recording and I'm like, all right, I want to just see what happens if we tell it to write an intro and outro for our podcast. So why don't we pretend for a moment that you're just tuning in to for the very first time to the StratCom Live podcast.
Now, before we do this, how much of this, because we have this printed out here, how is this all the way to the end? Are we reading all the way to the end of this, or is it just because there's a spot here that says closing script?
We're going to read all of it, because the first part up to closing script, we're going to read even the directions it gives us. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
even the directions that it gives us, we're going to read the whole thing. So this is the opening script, and then we would have our discussion in the middle, and then this is the closing script, right? That's all what this is.
All right. So, well, this is the welcome here. It looks like.
Yeah. The first part should say, it should start with upbeat music playing.
Yes. Okay.
Can you make some upbeat music, Kelsey?
Seinfeld or something. Upbeat music playing. Host one, Kelsey Bowden. That is I. Welcome, welcome, wonderful listeners, to another episode of StratCom Live, Small Business and Nonprofit Marketing. I'm Kelsey Bowden, founder and president of Grand River Agency, and alongside me is my brilliant co-host.
Host number two, Josh Hatcher. Hey there, everyone. I'm Josh Hatcher, vice president of client success at Grand River Agency and founder of Manlyhood. We're absolutely thrilled to have you tuning in today as we dive into the dynamic world of marketing for small businesses and nonprofits.
That's right, Josh. When I get to that point, that's right, Josh. Okay, so to this point, I mean, it stands on its own. I mean, like, you could
the information.
The information itself is correct. Wrong.
Right.
So anyway, that's right, Josh. We're here to share actionable insights, engaging stories, and expert strategies that will help you not only survive, but thrive in today's competitive landscape. Our mission is to empower you with the knowledge you need to take your marketing efforts to new heights.
And it's not just about
smile while you're doing it.
Yeah, I know. And it's not just about business strategies here. We're all about authenticity, connection, and having a little fun along the way. We want you to feel like you're hanging out with friends while gaining valuable insights.
Absolutely, Josh. Another transition. And hey, speaking of fun, before we dive into the nitty gritty of marketing, Have I ever said nitty gritty before?
The nitty gritty of marketing.
We've got a little tradition here in our second episode. It's time for our icebreaker question. Today's question is ... Josh chuckles. Yeah.
Josh chuckles. Right. Did you like that chuckle? Oh, you've gotten them curious now, Kelsey. Stay tuned, folks, for some entertaining and unexpected responses. Now let's get into the heart of the episode.
Transition music, which is more Seinfeld. Bum, 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 closing script after the meat of all of this stuff.
Right.
Here I am. And there you have it, folks. Another fantastic episode of StratCom Live, Small Business and Nonprofit Marketing is coming to a close. Thank you so much for joining us on this marketing adventure.
We hope you've gained valuable insights, had a few laughs, and are leaving with a renewed sense of inspiration for your small business or nonprofit.
You sound like Stefan from SNL. New York's hottest club is spicy. And here I am again. Remember, the journey doesn't end here. Stay connected with us on our website, stratcom.live, for bonus content, show notes, and ways to engage with the vibrant community of like-minded listeners.
Vibrant.
They're pretty vibrant. I'd say that about our audience.
They're like-minded.
Yes, they are.
And if you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to hit that subscribe button, leave us a review, and share your podcast. Share the podcast with your friends and colleagues who could benefit from our discussions.
Until next time, keep innovating, keep growing, and keep making your mark in the world of marketing. This is Kelsey Bowden.
And Josh Hatcher, signing off. Catch you in the next episode of StratCom Live, Small Business and Nonprofit Marketing.
Outro music fades.
End of episode.
End of episode. Oh, what did I note there? Signing off. Has anyone said signing off in like the last 50 years? Is that a thing that they say anymore?
I don't think so. I mean, being an old radio guy, like they used
to
say that.
Did you ever say that?
They used to say that. And it was because like it was actually the phrase signing off was actually because like when I worked in radio at this ancient radio station, every commercial that I played, everything that I did, every change that I made, every program I aired, I had to sign a log. That's why my signature is so crap, because at 14 and 16, you know, years old, I had to sign my name 100 times a day. So like when you So when you were leaving your shift, you had to sign a log that you were done with your on-air duties. And that was probably the 100th signature of your day.
Uh-huh.
And so you actually were literally signing off.
You were literally signing off.
You actually had to sign it all of it.
So going back over this, is this anything that you feel that we would organically say over the course of a podcast? I mean, like it started us off.
Right.
It started us off with some things that are, I guess, things that we would want to say.
Here's what helped me with it is I knew by the time I was working on this, it was after an entire day, right? I'd already worked like a 10-hour day at that point, right? And I'm like, okay, I know what it needs to do. I know what it needs to say. I just want to make sure that I don't miss anything. Right. Let me plug all this information in. Let me get it. And then I'll use it to write our own kind of rough script. Our script is definitely organic and talkable, right? Yeah. It's not we're not reading a whole lot, right?
Until then, we weren't reading anything at all.
I just dropped a wooden nickel, by the way.
Oh, yeah, because with the... that wooden script of yours there.
What it did for me is it helped me remember, first of all, in an opening of your podcast there are a few rules that you should do. The first one is make sure that in the first few seconds you tell the listeners what to expect, like what you're about, and what pain point you're kind of solving for them, which we haven't necessarily perfected yet, because even though I've been doing podcasting for almost 10 years and broadcasting longer than that, this podcast is new to me.
Sure.
So we haven't been perfect at it in these two episodes that we've got, but it reminded me of that a little bit. Like, okay, make sure you say this, make sure you talk about this. So when I kind of wrote our quote unquote intro script for other episodes, I made sure to put in it the things that we want to make sure we communicate right off the bat.
Right.
You know, and that's what it helped me do. But I actually didn't expect it to be like a script, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm like, this is the line that got me. We're all about authenticity, connection, and having a little fun along the way.
Authenticity, connection, and having a little fun. Authenticity, that's the most inauthentic thing that I...
We want you to feel like you're hanging out with friends while gaining valuable insights. Now, that's kind of some of the information that I plugged into the chat, because I do want this to feel... That's what I want this to feel like, right? Mm-hmm. I want our podcast to be authentic. Two real dudes who care about you and your success, having a real and care about each other, having a conversation.
I do care about you.
I do care about you. You're my buddy.
Hey, like, you're my buddy too. I appreciate that. Like, it makes me smile.
Like we tell each other, I love you, man, all the time, because we do care about each other. That's legit. And it's not goofy or weird. Right. So I'm trying to feed that in, because I'm trying to get ChatGPT to understand our personality.
Sure.
And it just didn't.
Try as it might, it didn't. Yep.
So, anyway.
That said.
All of that being said, it's time to actually close out our episode, Kelsey. So, first of all, we want to thank our listeners for listening to StratCom.
Thank you for listening.
And marketing nonprofit podcast. Make sure you check out our website at stratcom.live for the latest marketing news and headlines that you don't want to miss. Please subscribe, leave a rating and review, and tell your friends about this podcast.
Please subscribe.
We all have a story to tell.
Let's tell it well.